When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, Craig Mish's usual day off here on Wednesday. I, of course, not on the show on Tuesdays. We have plenty of news to discuss. We have a trade in the NBA. We have some news about the NFL next season. We're going to have a totally jam-packed show. We're going to take a look at some of the big questions in fantasy football. Next year, we're, of course, going to look at the playoff games going on. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit of bouncy ball, as my co-host George Kurtz calls it. So let's go ahead and get to the headlines here on Wednesday. Howie Roseman, GM of the Philadelphia Eagles, says that Jalen Hurts is going to be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles next season. I, of course, think that is the right thing to do. The Nuggets, Spurs, and Celtics complete a three-team trade. Bryn Forbes is going to Denver. They definitely need some help at their backup guard positions as they wait for Jamal Murray to get back. Juancho Hernangómez is going to head to the San Antonio Spurs, basically just a toolsy young player for the Spurs to try to develop there. And then Bol Bol, Manute Bol's son, and PJ Dozier are headed to Boston. I have been waiting for Bol Bol to get a rotation spot in the NBA. I actually tweeted this the other day. I said, you know, the Orlando Magic season, it doesn't matter. Nothing's happening. Cole Anthony's getting his minutes and Wendell Carter Jr. and Mo Bamba are getting their minutes. But can't they just trade for Bol Bol and give him 30 minutes a night just to see what would happen? Unfortunately, doesn't look like it's going to happen. Florida State beats number 6 ranked Duke in an overtime thriller. Big news here. Derrick Henry is back participating in contact drills in practice. Huge news for that Titans-Bengals game this weekend. And George, we were just talking about Tuukka Rask and Fantasy Reality last week on Wednesday. Makes his second start, gets pulled. Goalie is, it's kind of a young man's game these days.
It's only his second start. They waited about a week between starts here. You played the Carolina Hurricanes, a really good hockey team. Certainly the best team maybe in the Metropolitan Division, maybe in the Eastern Conference. A lot of good teams in the East, Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto. I'm not going to get on Rask for one bad start, but it wasn't pretty. I mean, I watched the game, and it seemed like as soon as I turned it up, 2-0 Carolina. What's going on here? You know, so I'm not going to get on him too much, but you said it. He's up there in age, coming back from hip surgery, just started playing. Never seen the start 3 months ago. He just started playing last week. It did cross my mind that maybe his best days are behind him, Davis. So it's something to keep an eye on here, but I'm not going to, you know, kick him to the curb with the one bad start.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this Philadelphia Eagles news. GM Howie Roseman says Jalen Hurts has earned the starting job for 2022. I think that he is correct. Not a great year to be drafting a quarterback in the draft, even with the three picks that they have. I believe all three of those picks are in the top 10. At least they were the last time that I looked, but you know, Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Malik Willis, none of these guys seem, even in the same caliber as the five guys who went last year. Like even Mac Jones, I think, would have been a guy who could have potentially gone number one overall in this draft if the trades worked out that way. So do we believe GM Howie Roseman? Do we actually think Jalen Hurts is taking the first snap for the Philadelphia Eagles in week one next year?
Yeah, now I was yelling at our producer before the show because he thinks I gotta take everybody's by their word. We welcome on our radio audience to Fantasy Sports Today with Davis Maddock and George Kurtz. I'm gonna take him at his word here because, as you said, I think this is the right move. Yeah, I get it. What have you done for me lately? That playoff game on Sunday, I'm trying to remember Saturday, Sunday, Monday, was ugly. It was ugly, but it wasn't just Jalen Hurts. I mean, I thought the play calling was horrible. I thought the team wasn't ready to play. I thought Sirianni was bad. They didn't make adjustments very well here. So I'm not just going to lay this at Jalen Hurts' feet. Do I think he needs a strong running game to be that kind of quarterback? Yes, I do. All right, I do think he needs that kind of guy who's just not going to win a game by himself. I also think the Eagles need a true number one wide receiver. I like Devonta Smith, but I don't think he's your prototypical number one. I think they need, you know, the guy they, you know, sort of took Jalen Rigor instead of. Justin Jefferson would be nice, someone like him. You know, oops, you played that up. Now, I don't believe any of their picks are in the top 10 anymore. I think they really fell here. They had what? Their pick, Miami's pick, and I forget who else. I'm looking. I think it's 16, 19, and 20, something like that. That they're picking 15, 16, and 19. They're picking 15, 16, and 19 now. At one time, I think they did have all three in the top 10, but themselves, Indianapolis and Miami, all played very well down the stretch, so those picks went down and down and down. But Philadelphia also needs to fix that defense. All right, that defense was really shredded by quite a few teams here, so they may have to go that way as well. And I think I saw a stat the other day of the first and second round picks, their last six or was it eight first and second round picks, all on offense. They've been ignoring the defense with early picks here. So we'll see what they do here. But like you, I don't think they go to a quarterback here. But if they were going to go to a quarterback, they wouldn't tell us. Because that drives up the price of free agency. That drives up the price if you're going to draft the guy. You can't trade ahead of somebody. So they wouldn't tell us anyway.
Yeah, that's true. They definitely wouldn't. And, you know, I've said this on the show the last couple weeks, but I really do think that we are in line for an all-time musical chairs offseason at quarterback. I think there are at least 10 teams that are going to have new quarterbacks. And, of course, a huge part of that is what ends up happening with Deshaun Watson. Is he able to play? Does he want to play? Like, they're just, you know, there's just so much up in the air right now. But good for Howie Roseman for at least acknowledging that Hurts did play well enough to earn more snaps in 2022. Guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay tuned, stay on the grid, and I'll be back in just a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined in this segment by our producer, Brett Levy, as we turn our eyes to the National Basketball Association. Only two games in the association last night, but still plenty of action to talk about. We have a much bigger 13-game slate that we are going to be discussing in the second hour of the show, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. Going to get into our fantasy standouts last night. We had the Warriors and the Pistons and the Knicks as well. Julius Randle giving, I mean, one of his best games of the year. Julius Randle, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 blocks, 2 steals. Easily one of his better games of the season. I know there are some frustrated Knicks fans out there who are wondering where this effort level has been. You know, they do end up losing to the Timberwolves. Evan Fournier got hot from 3-point range last night. 27 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 1 steal. Steph Curry didn't really have to do much in a very easy win against the Detroit Pistons. 18 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. Klay Thompson, his first time in fantasy standouts in like 3 years, Brett. We have him back. 21 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. On the other side of that game, Hamidou Diallo, 16 points, 13 rebounds. He did his best, but the Pistons were very overmatched. Killian Hayes got banged up in that game. Did anything leap out to you from the two games that we saw last night?
Yeah, definitely. Klay Thompson, Davis, you mentioned it, his first time in fantasy standouts. First time in to score 20 points in a game since he's returned, Davis. So big night for Klay. Hopefully this can be a building block for him. And he can continue to feel confident with his shooting. This was the most free throws he'd taken in a game since he returned, Davis. So maybe he's feeling more confident going off that leg, driving to the rim. These are all positive things that the Warriors should take away. And I guess we shouldn't be shocked, you know, going up against Detroit, one of the weaker teams in the league for sure. So it was nice to see Klay Thompson take advantage. And then, look, Evan Fournier continues to be a pretty good scoring option for the New York Knicks. Now, I know they didn't win the game, but Evan Fournier, for fantasy purposes, is a pretty viable option, Davis.
Yeah, he definitely is. So let's get to some of the big questions that we have from the action last night. The first one, and I was just talking about this with Craig on Monday. I mean, it is unbelievable how bad the Los Angeles Lakers are considering their expectations heading into the season. They are 22-22, so we have to ask the question, will the Lakers be able to retool their roster at the trade deadline? What do you think, Brett?
So it's kind of difficult because they're so bought into three players, right? But Kendrick Nunn, a mid-level guy who, you know, they could probably move, hasn't played a minute for them this season. He's been injured. So that's been a tough one. Maybe they can move a Talen Horton Tucker, right? Kind of a lower contract guy. Maybe they can move a Malik Monk, excuse me. But he can probably be a movable contract as a mid-level guy as well. So there are some pieces that can move Davis, but I don't know if this could be like what LeBron did in Cleveland, where he had a whole new team at the trade deadline and brings in Clarkson and Nance and all these guys at the trade deadline, helps him get over the hump. And I don't think anything like that is coming for the Lakers, but, you know, I think there are some pieces that can move. You know, people keep saying who's going to buy Westbrook's contract. Well, you know, another question we're looking at, Davis, is, you know, will Ben Simmons be moved at the deadline? Well, maybe that's a place that would actually eat Russell's Westbrook's contract, because they're getting nothing out of Ben Simmons. And, you know, he's a clutch client. So, you know, maybe LeBron might be a fan there. So, you know, there are destinations for Westbrook, but we you know, it's a tough contract to eat, over $40 million for a guy that's not shooting the ball particularly well from three.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that until you put it in my head. But the Ben Simmons swap actually does make a little bit of sense if there can a third team would have to be added, right, to get the piece that you know, a third team. But that is I know from, like, you know, following some 76ers stuff, they are very open, and the 76ers fans, they've like dreamed up all of these magic trades where a third team gets involved. And in fact, there's a rumor going around right now that Simmons is going to be traded to the Kings for a package centered around Tyrese Halliburton. But again, I wonder if the Kings would be willing to be a third team in there to get Ben Simmons to the Lakers, because I would imagine Simmons would much rather play for the Lakers than he would for the Sacramento Kings. All right, another big one. What will the market for Miles Turner look like? I will say, as a, you know, a casual, I guess slightly more than casual NBA fan, the Turner-Sabonis pairing has never worked. But Turner is, I mean, he can shoot a little bit. He is a very good defensive center. I mean, if they really do want to move on from him, I think that pretty much every team in the NBA should be bidding on Miles Turner.
Yeah, I guess you have to be a little concerned. He does have what I believe is a foot injury right now. And I always get concerned foot injuries with bigs. Obviously, Yao Ming, the most famous example of that, Davis. So there's going to be some pause amongst NBA teams. But, you know, Bol Bol just got foot surgery, and he's on his way to Boston. So there will definitely be buyers. To your point, he's a great two-way big in the NBA. Probably can score 18, get you 11 boards a night, a few block shots. So definitely going to help some playoff teams. And look, I think Indiana is going to do what they can to ship him out west because they don't want to have to worry about this guy playing them potentially twice, three times a year. So, yeah, I think that might limit the market a little bit, Davis. But, you know, there's gonna be some teams out west that are in this thing. Maybe Dallas is looking for a big. I know Cauley Stein didn't work out like they envisioned. The production from Dwight Powell, I really like Dwight Powell. He's a good two-way player as well, but not the same producer as a Miles Turner who went to college at Texas. So there should be some teams interested, Davis.
All right, big question. I mean, this is probably the biggest question as we head to the NBA trade deadline in February. Will Ben Simmons be moved at the deadline? And, you know, I mean, the team is, I am sure they've been exploring all the options. We just talked about him there with the Lakers. I think there are lots of teams that should want to be trading for Ben Simmons. I mean, any team that's decent but not a real title contender this year, I think they should be trying to add Ben Simmons. I believe in Ben Simmons' skill set, which is, it's not a popular opinion. People are out on Ben Simmons. I am not out on Ben Simmons. I believe, and I think he will be traded by the deadline.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like maybe his value, it might be diminished right now. The Sixers seem to be trying to attach other pieces to him, Davis. So I don't know. Maybe it's a draft night trade instead. So I think this saga could play out all season long. Like, I think he might be a Sixer past the deadline.
I mean, the way that Daryl Morey has talked, he's made it sound like he's fine doing that. That he doesn't want to trade him for Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, and a second round pick, right? He wants to extract the maximum amount of value there. And if you really think about who should be most upset by the fact that Simmons is still on the team and has not been traded, I think it actually should be Joel Embiid. You know, Embiid is having an MVP-esque caliber season. He's not going to win the MVP. They're going to be like the sixth seed in the East or whatever. But Embiid is, you know, he's got only a certain number of jumps left in those legs. Only, you know, he's had the knee troubles. He's had the foot troubles. But it seems like everything that's been reported, that Embiid is fine with the situation as it is. He's not mad at Daryl Morey. He's not mad at the front office. He's just saying, you know, I think pretty clearly him and Ben Simmons don't get along, and he is more than happy to have Ben Simmons moved along and no longer part of the franchise. So that's going to wrap up our discussion on last night in the NBA. Of course, we'll have more NBA discussion in the second hour of the show. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, rejoined by George Kurtz as we go away from basketball and back into football, fantasy football for the playoffs. You know, George, I am in loads of these contests, the FFPC, the NFC, fantasy postseason. I won't say I prefer postseason fantasy football to regular season fantasy football, but the contest they do on the NFC with the multipliers, and you know, so every in week one, the wild card round, you can only have one guy per team. Then the second week, you can have two guys per team. Then the conference championships, you have three guys per team. And then in the Super Bowl, eventually you can have four guys on a roster. It's probably my favorite fantasy football format. However, I'm absolutely in a pinch in all of these contests because, you know, what did I do? Obviously, I played all of them like the Dallas Cowboys were going to beat the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm definitely going to have to do some surgeries for these teams. And as I was working on my teams this morning, I noticed something fairly interesting, which is that there are two backfields from teams that could very easily make the Super Bowl that I don't really think we have any idea who is going to be the lead back the rest of the way. And the first one is the Kansas City Chiefs. Jerick McKinnon has, I mean, the best game of his career, right? Considering the stakes and considering the opponent, I think that the Sunday night game where he had 12 carries, 61 yards, 6 targets, 6 receptions, 81 yards, and a receiving touchdown, pretty clearly the best game of his career. However, clearly in that game, Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't play. It is also worth noting that Darrell Williams had suffered a toe injury in their Week 18 win against the Denver Broncos. So I believe he recorded only 8 snaps in that game. We also saw a brief little cameo of Derek Gore in that game as well. Derek Gore played 6 snaps. Darrell played 8. So very simple question, right? Why don't you look into your crystal ball? Who leads the Chiefs backfield the rest of the way? You know, do we see McKinnon carve out a role? Does CEH come back and take it? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think first we have to figure out who's healthy and who's not, right? I mean, are Darrell Williams and CEH, are they healthy enough to play and to have a full role here? I don't know about you, Davis, but I'm pretty much of the belief where if it isn't broke, I'm not fixing it, especially when I don't have a superstar here. This would be a little different, let's say, in Tennessee. Let's just say for giggles here that McNichols and Hilliard were playing so well, right? They were playing so well as almost as well as McKinnon did last week, but now you got Henry back. Henry's a superstar. I'm still starting Henry in that case over those guys. Here, though, Darrell Williams, CH, they're not superstars. It's not like they can't be replaced because of an injury here. As I said, it's not broke. I'm not fixing it. McKinnon played so well. For me, it's McKinnon here, but I'll be the first to tell you, that's a gamble. I don't know for sure. For all I know, Andy Reid's going to be like, oh, no, it's been CEH all year. You know, Darrell Williams done this. He may think it's game plan specific. In this game, it's a CEH game because it's Buffalo's defense. So you don't know here. But like I said, for me personally, and reading what Reid said about McKinnon, how impressed he was, I'm going to say McKinnon, but I'll be the first to tell you I'm not sure. And I'm in the same kind of leagues you are. And, yeah, I'm a little nervous punching his name in there.
I am extremely nervous, and you know, it is fairly interesting because the Chiefs have actually been in the same situation every year in the postseason. So if we can turn our brains all the way back to last season, heading into the playoffs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was injured yet again. He didn't play in week 16, he didn't play in week 17, and he didn't play in the first week of the playoffs against last year. They played the Cleveland Browns, and remember, they had the bye week. So he had not played for a month. He came back against Buffalo. The team wins 38-24. He plays 50% of the snaps. He gets 6 carries and 2 targets in the passing game. The lead back for the Kansas City Chiefs in that game was Darrell Williams. He played more snaps and got more carries. In the Super Bowl loss to Tampa Bay, Darrell Williams, more snaps, more carries. Then if we really want to rewind our brains all the way back to 2019, Damian Williams was the lead back in the postseason for the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was actually at the end of the season, LeSean McCoy, who had been getting touches for the Kansas City Chiefs because Damian Williams had been injured, he had missed a month of the season, and I made that up. Not only was LeSean McCoy involved, Spencer Ware and Darwin Thompson were involved, and so it was kind of a timeshare to end the season. Then we get to the postseason. What happens? Damian Williams plays incredibly, and Damian is the lead back for the rest of the way. 12 for 47 against Houston, 2 touchdowns, 17 for 45 against Tennessee, and a touchdown, and then 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl against San Francisco. So it's not like this is an unforeseen scenario in Kansas City. And my educated guess is that Andy Reid is going to reward the guy who is playing well. So McKinnon, I think, is going to get the first crack in this game against the Bills. Now, if he plays poorly, if he fumbles, if he gets banged up, then it's going to be Clyde and Darrell. But I just kind of have my sixth sense, my spidey sense is tingling that Jerick McKinnon is going to get the most touches for the Chiefs against the Bills. Another interesting situation, basically the same thing, actually, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Leonard Fournette has been out for the last month of the season. Ronald Jones has also been out for the last 3 weeks, and Giovanni Bernard has been injured for 8 weeks. He comes off the designated for return IR and actually has the second most targets on the team, scores a goal line touchdown. Keyshawn Vaughn was the lead runner for them against the Philadelphia Eagles, but Fournette is supposed to be back this week. Ronald Jones should be getting close to a return. Now, he has this ankle injury, so he may not play at all. But, George, I mean, this is another situation. I mean, these are the two teams, very easily, they played in the Super Bowl last year. They could play in the Super Bowl again this year. who is playing running back for the Buccaneers the rest of the way?
All right, I'm going to go Fournette here because, once again, although I wouldn't call him a superstar, he's been so good for this team really since he came over from Jacksonville, right? So I'm going to say if Fournette can play, and once again, it's a bit of an if here, he was not a game-time decision last week. He didn't get activated at 4 o'clock on Saturday, so we knew he wasn't playing here. So we'll see here how much closer he is to playing. But if he's ready to play, I'm going to say it's Fournette. That being said, my problem with this group is this. I think Davis, that Fournette will be ready to play here. I just don't think he's going to play a full complement of his snap to what he would normally play here. So I think this is going to be sort of a, okay, Fournette's going to go, you know, maybe 60% of what he normally does. Maybe he'll be the goal line guy here. And I do expect him to be that. But they're not going to forget about how good he was out of the backfield last week, right? Catching balls out of the backfield sort of gives Brady that little, that safety valve. And let's face it, Brady was getting rid of that ball in, what, 2.15 seconds last week? He, three steps, gone. And I think he's going to do that again versus the Rams and Aaron Donald this week. I think Gio's going to be a big part of that. He's going to be a guy to catch the ball out of the backfield there, so I think he's going to be play. I could say Keyshawn Vaughn being a small part as well. I think it could be something like, 60% Fournette, 25-15. They're all going to be involved here. If Ronald Jones can come back healthy, he's probably the guy I don't think will be back. Now that he's sort of, and if he is back, he's sort of a more of a, break glass case of emergency because he won't be close to full strength, but in case someone gets hurt, that sort of thing. So I think it's Fournette for me, Gio, Keyshawn Vaughn last here. But obviously there's some worry about this as well. You know, there's no way of knowing for sure here. And if Fournette's out, by the way, if he's not ready to return, then I think it's pretty similar to what it was last week where you want Gio and Keyshawn Vaughn will have value.
All right, George, I'm going to selfishly hijack the show, and we are going to work on my NFFC roster because I have to make some replacements here. So I have Dak, who is eliminated, Josh Jacobs, who is eliminated, Cardinals kicker, and the Patriots defense, who are eliminated. I have 2x multipliers on the remaining players. Mahomes, I am playing this bracket like the Chiefs are going to win the Bills game and make it to the Super Bowl on the AFC side. Then I have Devin Singletary, Elijah Mitchell, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase, AJ Brown, and Rob Gronkowski. To play it like the Chiefs are going to make the Super Bowl, I can do one of two things. I can sub out the Josh Jacobs spots. That has to be subbed out regardless, right? Then I can add in McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, whoever I think is going to lead the rest of the way, and then I will have the eventual multiplier on the Chiefs running back. That is, I think, the more risky strategy. The other thing that I could do is remove Cooper Kupp, play like the Rams are going to lose to the Green Bay Packers, and replace him with Tyreek Hill, and just hope that Cooper Kupp doesn't get, 30 points. And if the Rams beat the Packers, I am stone dust. So would you rather sub in McKinnon, Darrell, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a running back spot that has to be replaced anyway, or remove Cooper Kupp and place Tyreek Hill in for the eventual multiplier if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl?
My problem with the McKinnon part is, as much as I do like him this week, what if he is a dud? Or is not anywhere near as good as he's a good solid back, but not as good as he was last week. They could easily make that switch back to CEH. Easy. Assuming he's healthy and ready to go here. So that's my biggest worry, or Dow Williams for that matter. A lot of cooks in the kitchen there. Could just be the hot guy who's ever playing well gets to go here. I think McKinnon, as you said, gets first crack at it. But after that, I'm unsure. I think you're going to have a track meet this Sunday. It is Sunday, right? Yeah, between Kansas City and Buffalo. I think a lot of points are coming here. I'm probably going that direction here. I'm going to put Hill. He looked good. He looked about back to being the Hill that we were got used to last week. Right? I don't know what happened at the end of the regular season. If something was bothering him or they were protecting him. But I'm probably going in that direction. Give me Hill.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think you're right for a couple reasons. One, I think Kupp is one of the most owned players in the entire tournament. And I think he will be owned way more than the probability that the Rams lose that game against the Packers. I think the Packers should be pretty strong, pretty likely to win. So I don't know. I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of the week. I'll get Craig to weigh in tomorrow as we selfishly go over my roster. We are going to go ahead and break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. We will be right back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into some 2022 fantasy football coverage, I need to remind everyone to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. You can also follow Sports Grid on Instagram. You are going to get live updates of programming here on the show. In fact, I think they've already tweeted out some clips from this show. The social media team always working hard. You're going to get analysis of our best bets. You're going to get all of the fantasy content here on the network straight to your Twitter timeline. You can even turn notifications on for at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV, and you will be getting the best that we have to offer of all the programming here on the network. So make sure that you guys are doing that. Now, George, we are going to turn our attention to fantasy football in 2022, because I think something that I always find very interesting is comparing your opinions at the end of the season before to the opinions you have, you know, in August or September, right? It's always fascinating. Like, we just get done with the season. We're thinking about all of these players. Do I want this one? Do I want that one? Am I doing zero RB? Am I not doing zero RB? Do I take a tight end early or do I wait? And then seeing how things actually play out when we get a little bit closer to the season. So we're just going to do pretty simple here. Who goes first in 2022? And who would you rather have? And our first one is going to be Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase versus Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson. Both of them were, of course, phenomenal this last season. So, George, what say you?
All right. Listen, love both these guys, right? They're both great receivers here. My first question I can actually ask you is, who are we assuming is going to be the quarterback of the Vikings? All right, if it's Kirk Cousins, then this is very close, right? I can make an argument for either player. If it's not Kirk Cousins, well, is it somebody decent? Is it somebody terrible? Is it a rookie? You know, some blah? It's not going to be Kellen Mond. I don't think it's going to be that. So right now, because of that question that we don't know, or we're not positive, I think it will be Cousins in the end. I can't see them going away. And how are you going to do better, right? You know, Green Bay is not trading your Rodgers. I don't see Russell Wilson going there. So there's just no one better out there. So I'll say it's going to be Cousins. So this is close, but I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase. I would be happy with both guys here, but Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow have that special something connection here. Why take the risk that I don't know that maybe it's not Cousins here? And I think Chase, that was his first year last year. First year. What's he going to do when he gets better? You know, when he learns the NFL, he learns what coverages are like, runs his routes better. You know, he can see the stripes on the ball when they're not there, whatever he was complaining about preseason. I got to go Chase here. I think the world of this guy. I think he can be the next number one wide receiver, fantasy wide receiver eventually here. He's not there yet. But I think eventually he might be that guy. And I love that passing offense here. If Zach Taylor lets him cook, you want to double cover him, but you still got to worry about T. Higgins. You still got to worry about Boyd. This offense could be deadly here. Give me Chase. It's close, but give me Chase.
You know what? I'm going to side with you. And I think maybe that's like a little bit of a controversial opinion, especially because of how good Justin Jefferson was when Adam Thielen got injured this last year. And, you know, certainly Justin Jefferson does not have to play with anyone as talented as T. Higgins. You know, Thielen is going to be 31 next season, but I'm going Chase too. I think Ja'Marr Chase has a chance to be Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp level of a fantasy impact. I mean, he is just so good, and Burrow looks like he's getting better every single week. The coaching staff seems incredible there. Well, I don't know if the coaching staff seems incredible, but they certainly feel as if they're going to get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase as like their number one way of moving the ball on offense. So I'm with you. I'm taking Chase. I think these guys are both going to be top 16 picks when we get there in ADP, you know, of course, assuming that neither of them get injured. Moving now to another interesting wide receiver dynamic, Jaylen Waddle, Miami Dolphins wide receiver versus Keenan Allen. And the reason why I paired these two up is, one, I think they are going to go fairly close to one another, but they're very similar players, right? Jaylen Waddle probably never going to score lots of touchdowns. Both of them are going to be targeted very close to the line of scrimmage. Now, Keenan is definitely going to have the advantage at quarterback, but he's getting a little bit older. I believe he's going to be 29 next season. He'll be entering into either his ninth or 10th year in the NFL. Mike Williams, whose contract I think they're going to have to figure out this offseason. But this was the best season of Mike Williams's career in terms of efficiency and actually staying on the field. So youth or beauty here, George, where are we going?
I think there, once again, you have to ask yourself two questions here. Who's the quarterback going to be in Miami? Once again, I'll assume it's Tua. That does seem to be one of the reasons why Flores is no longer with the team. He did want a stronger push through with Deshaun Watson. I guess GM ownership did not. So let's say it's going to be Tua here. And then you're asking yourself, do you want the safe play? Because the safe play is Keenan Allen, right? I mean, you know what he's going to do. He is getting up there in age, but he's still a very good route runner. He's not going to, I don't think he's going to set the world on fire here, but you can rely on his points. It's sort of like when you play in a fantasy baseball league, and it's something I always do. You can do some football too, but it really goes to baseball more. And if you're playing in a league that's been around for a couple of years, well, let's say home runs. You know how much it's going to take to win the home run category? You can look it up. Oh, last 5 years, it takes 300 home runs to win. Well, you know, I'm going to take player A here. Player A always hits 30 home runs. Well, now I need 270 to win that category. You can do that with Keenan Allen. You'll know about how many touchdowns he's going to get, how much yards he's going to get. You can figure that out. He's a safe play. Waddle is the upside guy. He's also a guy, by the way, this has to be a PPR league. If it's a standard league, I'll go Keenan Allen. Well, does anybody play in a standard league anymore? I play in double-digit leagues. I don't think I play in any standards, by the way, at least a half-point PPR. So standard isn't standard anymore. Waddle's going to catch a ton of passes, I have no doubt. Yardage can be iffy. Touchdowns can be iffy because of the quarterback behind him. Tua should get better, and I think the Dolphins will surround him with better playmakers, but they don't even have a number one pick this year. So that'd be somebody massive here. I like a better running game for Miami as well. So I think things will get better there, but not massively better. This probably comes down to how the rest of my draft is going here, Davis. I don't know how you are. My first couple of picks, Davis, I believe in taking it safe. I don't like taking many chances here. I don't. Because I figure, you know what, I'm good enough. First, as long as something doesn't go wrong with my first three picks, I'll be fine. I'm probably going Keenan Allen. I love Herbert there. But I admit that I think Waddle at the end probably going to have more fantasy points.
Yep. I'm going Waddle as well. I almost always go with the younger guy. But also, you know, the way Jalen Waddle was used at Alabama, they threw him the ball down the field. He was not just a slot wide receiver, not just slants, you know, not just little hitch routes and everything. And so if there's a new quarterback in Miami next year, if they have a full offseason, you know, like I am a little bit higher than the market on Tua anyways. And we'll see what happens with their head coaching department and their offensive coordinator and everything. But I am a believer in Jalen Waddle, so I'm going Waddle here. Next up, a pair of dynamic young running backs. We have Eli Mitchell, who was coming into the year as a sixth-round pick. I mean, he wasn't even projected to make the team. People kind of thought the 49ers running backs were going to be Raheem Mostert, Trey Sermon, and Jeff Wilson Jr. with Eli Mitchell as either a practice squad player or as a special teams guy only, ends up leading the backfield far and away in touches, in efficiency. But what do we know? I mean, it's very hard to trust Shanahan running backs. Extremely hard, right? I mean, you know, Raheem Mostert is a sixth-round pick. Trey Sermon is a seventh-round pick, and they both do absolutely nothing for your fantasy teams this year. Mostert will be back on the team next year. Sermon will still be on the team. We'll see what ends up happening with Jeff Wilson Jr. He will probably be on a different team. And then J.K. Dobbins, he did get hurt. But I think the season after he got hurt played out about as good as it can. The offense looked terrible. They didn't find a talented player with him out, right? Freeman, nothing. Le'Veon Bell, they cut him. Tyson Williams, he started for about a game and a half, and then he missed a pass block, and they banished him. So I think J.K. Dobbins is going to go very high in drafts next year. I think that the team is going to they're going to view J.K. Dobbins as their starter. And we already saw with Cam Akers, by the way, I mean, these lower body injuries for running backs these days, it's just not nearly as severe as it used to be.
Yeah, the Cam Akers thing is amazing to me. Still amazing. This guy tore his Achilles this season, and he's back, and he looks good. God bless Cam. Cam Akers, good for you, Cam. This one's tough. Yeah, I don't know whether it was you or Brett who did the research on this. You guys chose a good one here, right? They're both similar. Because they have both so many guys here. Eli Mitchell. I mean, you got Hasty, R.A. Wilson. Trey Sermon. Remember him? Man, he was supposed to be a big thing this year, and he got banished. Raheem Mostert. So many guys here to figure out which one's going to be the guy. Who's going to be the quarterback there as well? Trey Lance. Is he going to be running? Is he going to be now the new Lamar Jackson? Is he going to steal touchdowns from our running backs? Because he's going to rush him in from the inside the 5-yard line? I'm thinking yes, because I don't think Jimmy G will be there next year. I just don't see it. So I think that's going to be a problem as well here. Baltimore. You said you got Dobbins there. We got Lamar Jackson. We know he steals things. Let's say, I don't know if Freeman or Murray are going to be there. You already said about Tyson Williams, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill. So many guys to try to figure out here. I don't want either one of these guys to be my running back one. I don't, because they're, I mean, I would have had to go very strong at wide receiver. If I took him in the third round, that'd be different, but they're going to go higher than that because someone's going to take a shot that Eli Mitchell is going to be the guy. Dobbins is going to be the guy. Too many question marks here. If I had to pick one, I'm going Eli Mitchell. I'm just going Eli Mitchell, but I don't feel great about it at all. I'm going Eli Mitchell because, you said it, San Fran does great things with their running backs here. I know Eli sort of came out of nowhere there, but he looks really good, looks like the thing. And it's going to be Trey Lance at quarterback next season, I believe, anyway, which means they're going to run the ball even more because he's not Lamar Jackson. I know Lamar Jackson isn't the greatest throwing quarterback either, but Trey Lance is still behind him. They're going to rely on this running game a lot here. I have a feeling you're going with Dobbins here, and I don't really blame that. This one's close. This is probably the hardest of the three to me because I'm not going to be thrilled about having either one of them. Love the players. It's the other guys that are there what the coaches are going to do and that running quarterback that's just going to kill me.
Well, I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to say I'm taking Eli Mitchell, but I'm going to surprise you even further and say I'm totally fine having both of these guys as my running back one because, I mean, if Eli Mitchell just does per game what he did in 2021, he's going to be a top 10 running back. No problem. I mean, if he just stays healthy, he is going to crush because he was clearly the lead back for the 49ers when he was in there. All right, and then we just had three pretty exciting ones, and now I'm going to remind everyone that fantasy football is very hard and you have to take players you don't like all the time. Michael Carter of the New York Football Jets and Josh Jacobs of the Las Vegas Raiders. Both of these guys had decent stints this year. Carter was working, you know, pretty decent in the passing game. Jacobs had a couple game with two rushing touchdowns, but obviously, you know, I mean, we know who Josh Jacobs is at this point. He can't become anything else. You know, he is what he is. So is Michael Carter above the Josh Jacobs line in 2022?
A Jet. Yeah, I'm probably taking Michael Carter here. Jacobs is what he is. I like Jacobs. I do. Safe play. Going to get some touchdowns, assuming they don't bring in somebody else to take his job there. I don't mind Jacobs either here, but I'll take Michael Carter for the upside.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I mean, that's just how I draft, right? I always draft the younger guy. I always draft the guy who hasn't disappointed me quite yet, right? I'll always take a 23-year-old who hasn't disappointed me yet, versus the 27-year-old who I know isn't going to win me the league, but is clearly, you know, just a very average player. So, guys, that certainly is not going to be the last that we talk about 2022 fantasy football here on the show. We're going to have lots of that over the next few weeks, over the next few months. I know Craig Mish is watching, and I know he's saying, guys, I can't believe this. We got to get some baseball back. I can't be talking about 2022 fantasy football already, but stay here. Stay on the grid. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick. See you guys back in a few moments. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. And in this little 2-minute, 30-second window, this is our time to express our sadness about the fact that it does not seem like anything good is happening in the discussions between Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball's Players Association. You know, we are getting close to spring training, pitchers and catchers reporting in general, and you know, it just does not feel like there's been any good or positive movement towards getting the season on track, George.
Seem like? Well, there hasn't been. I mean, it hasn't been any kind of good or positive movement. I guess there some news just came out. Actually, just read it that the Major League Baseball Players Association is getting ready to submit a, I guess you want to call it a counter proposal. You know, and they'll get it there within the next couple of days, hopefully at some point this week. But keep in mind, when I say counter proposals, these original proposals haven't been anywhere near worth talking about. It's like one side makes a proposal, the other side goes, get the hell out of here. It's not even worth talking about. So that's the issue here. Neither side's come anywhere near close to a proposal that can be talked about, that can be negotiated down or up from there. Listen, I can't say this enough. I want to be wrong. I so want to be wrong, but I don't see how they're starting on time. I don't. Davis, you just said it. Pitchers and catchers report in less than a month, right? Less than a month. We're talking 3+ weeks here. That ain't happening. You know, if March 1st comes around, they haven't reported yet. Well, now regular season games are going down the tubes, all right? Because it's going to take at least 3 weeks of spring training to get a season. You need more than that anyway, but at least three. And then you get all the visa problems that these foreign players are going to have to get back in here. It's going to be a nightmare this season.
It is going to be a nightmare. I mean, none of us are rooting for this, right? But again, you know, we all want to be on the side of the labor. Certainly, I don't want to tell the players, like, okay, you just need to, you know, give the owners, give the Major League Baseball owners, give them whatever they want so that we can have baseball. So I'll stand in solidarity with the players. We will do our best to cover the world of fantasy sports and professional sports the best we can here on the show without baseball, and hope that they get it figured out soon. We're going to go ahead and wrap up hour one of the show. Stay tuned. Stay on the grid. We'll be back in just a moment. Break.